You can buy books by my podcast guests and find other recommended arts and crafts techniques books by visiting uk.bookshop.org/shop/creativityfound. Don't worry, I've popped a link in the show notes. Plus, by buying from my shop, you'll be supporting this show with a little bit of affiliate loveliness. Thank you.
None of them really went in those directions that I wanted to pursue, and I went in a completely different direction. The only thing that came out was abstract, and I still don't even know how that happened. So initially, I didn't want to share. I didn't want to share that it was me at all, because I felt so satisfied creating it and so satisfied after I created and saw the result. You can actually feel colour energies, which is a subject that I'm very passionate about, and I love sharing that with people.
Hi, I'm Claire, founder of Open Stage Arts Drama and Singing Classes for Adults. Lots of the adults who come to our classes and online events are looking for a creativity that has been put on the back burner during their sensible grown-up years. I have found this to be true among other creatives too, so I've decided to find out more about the painters, photographers, writers, printmakers, actors, crafters, teachers, musicians, and more that have found or refound their creativity later in life. For this episode, I'm speaking with Farah Syed, who was put off pursuing art at higher education by the restricted courses available at the time. She successfully worked and studied in banking, finance, food sciences, and marketing, then took a step back when her family moved for a time from London to India. She returned to art, but not in a way she had expected, and she now produces and educates in a colourful, textured, sensory manner. Hi, Farah.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Tell me about your artistic practice.
Well, my art practice consists of two facets. One is creating abstract art and the other is as an educator. So I create abstract art that is heavily textured and can be experienced using the sense of touch as well as sight. The works can be viewed in any four orientation. And every time you change the orientation, you see new images. So that's quite fun to share. And the art is very interactive in that I don't title the work. So I want people to tell me what they see rather than what I would title a piece with, because then it limits the interaction. I like imaginations being tickled and people telling me what they think that they see. And the surfaces of the canvas dance with the light. So they change from morning till evening, because every time the light interacts with the metallic element on the surface of the canvas, different colours jump out. So it's a very changing experience rather than a static experience. And in terms of the education side, I have created an art appreciation workshop for the blind and partially sighted, which I have been very blessed to have delivered globally to many museums and institutions and educational establishments. And the workshop consists of three parts. The first part is where I invite the participants to experience the surfaces of the canvas using the sense of touch and ask them to tell me what they think is on the canvas. And each painting has so many different interpretations, and some interpretations have been so poetic that it is quite emotional, actually. And it's wonderful to hear what people feel when they are experiencing the paintings using the sense of touch. The next part of the workshop is where I show people how to feel the energies of colour without needing the sense of sight. You can actually feel colour energies, which is a subject that I'm very passionate about, and I love sharing that with people. And then the final part of the workshop is where we create textured art together. It's just so much fun and it's so enriching, and it's just really empowering for people to be able to create art in that way and then to be able to share it with their family and friends. So it's been a joyous experience, something that I'm very, very grateful for.
That sounds wonderful. How exciting. Did you have a good experience of the arts at school and growing up?
I did. I was very blessed, actually, to have had wonderful art teachers. We had really good direction, and we're talking art and drama as well. So I'm very grateful for that experience, because for the teachers there to have shown enthusiasm and encouragement was rare in those days. It's just luck of the draw, really, the kind of teachers that inspire you. So yes, definitely had a great experience at school. I loved creating, and I used to have, my teacher was so sweet, she gave me a little wall in our classroom where, when I was creating art, just for pleasure as well, I'd come in and she'd put it up on the wall, and then other students would be really like happy to see it, and they'd be saying to me, oh, when's the next one? So it was just a really nice experience to share art and have people actually enjoy it. So that I'm very, you know, I'm so grateful for that. Growing up, I mean, coming from there, then I did fine art and textile design and history of art at A level, wanted to then consider going down the direction of doing it as a degree. But that was a different experience completely. Back in those times, it was all about conceptual art and the honing in of skills of creating representational art using different mediums was just not around. And I went to all the main art schools around at the time, you know, Central, Slade, Goldsmiths, to see the foundation courses that were on offer. And none of them really went in those directions that I wanted to pursue. So it put me off completely. And I went in a completely different direction at that time. It was an interesting experience, but I'm really glad I didn't force myself to go and do an art degree just for the sake of it. I made a conscious choice, and I'm glad I did that.
So what did you do instead?
So I went in the direction of banking and finance for about 3 years, which was interesting. Great to have your own money for a change, etc. And then I really wanted to do a degree, and it takes a break from working. But I wanted to do a degree anyway. So I did a degree in food sciences and consumer studies, which was, it was a very interesting modular degree, and it gave me a fantastic 3-year experience of learning about so many different industries, and I'm really, really happy I did it. And from there, I went into marketing. I was in marketing, working in the city for about 7 years from there. So that was a wonderful experience. Loved it, really enjoyed it, learned so much. And I have to say, every single time I do something, I learn a lot from it, and I take something from it to help me from whatever I'm doing currently. So, and then life gets busy. I got married, I had a daughter, you know, you just get very immersed in everything else that's going on. So yeah, I embraced that. So that's what happened in the next like 10 years or so after leaving my degree, well, my university experience.
Yeah. I know you moved to India, and at that time you started to explore your creativity again, and that exploration took a turn you perhaps weren't expecting. Can you tell me about those experiences and what came out?
Oh, absolutely. So we moved to Bangalore in India in 2006, and it was a life-changing experience, obviously, and it was a time in my life where I was able to just stop. Life in London was crazy busy. There was lots going on, and I just did not even think about creating art, let alone even experiencing. It was difficult. So when we went to India, it was just a wonderful experience to be able to just stop and live life in a different way, where I could also focus on what I wanted to do. Now, India just is the most amazing experience. Even if you go on a holiday or whatever, it just has so many different facets of assaults on the senses. You know, smell, sight, sound, the color. It's just so many different things that happen when you're in India. And I loved every single part of it. Now, we moved into a home, and I needed to get some art together for the walls, etc. And I really just went looking to buy art, but I didn't see anything that really resonated. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to create something just to see what happens. And I was very lucky to have stumbled across a fantastic art shop, which had the most highest of qualities of supplies. And I really lucked out, because I was able to get everything I needed in terms of canvas, paints, palette knives, brushes in one place. Picked up everything that I needed and brought it home and started to create. Now, for me, it just still leaves me confused and intrigued how this happened. all I wanted to create was representational art in my previous creation adventures. When I created my first canvas in India, the only thing that came out was abstract. And I still don't even know how that happened, but I'm very much the type of person that embraces things without questioning it too much. And I never looked back. Just the thought of creating representational art from that point onwards just didn't appeal to me at all. And the abstract art that came out from within, and it was very much an uninterrupted flow of energy. And because I wasn't creating with any parameters or for anybody else, just for myself, it was just such a beautiful experience for me because I felt so satisfied creating it and so satisfied after I created and saw the result. And it was just me and the canvas. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that experience because it was just so freeing. So from there, I just created what I wanted and put them up on my walls. And friends would come around and they'd say, oh, that's a really interesting piece. I like it a lot. Tell me who it is because I'd like to maybe buy from the artist. So initially, I didn't want to share. I didn't want to share that it was me at all. And I didn't tell anybody until a friend clocked on because she caught a glimpse of where I was working and what I was doing. But she didn't tell me. A few weeks later, she brought a friend round for a coffee. And it was this gentleman who basically then just said to me, okay, let's just cut to the chase. I like what you do. I love what you create. And I want you to exhibit in my next gallery show. So this gentleman had a number of galleries and was an art dealer as well. And I looked at my friend who brought him over. I said, you know, basically, what on earth are you doing? But then at that point, I had to think about it and I was ready to share. So from there, had a really great exhibition, many exhibitions to follow. And then I had a sellout solo show before I left India, which was just the most amazing experience. And just really, you know, just so many things happened going with the flow and I embraced every stage of it. And it was always on my terms, for which I'm very, very happy about. And, you know, it was crazy, you know, having like a PR experience as well, because I had so many different articles and magazines, coverage on the TV, radio. It was just really, really great experience. Also getting papped at parties was just bizarre. But yeah, you just embrace it all. But yeah, so India was amazing for me.
Wow, what a whirlwind experience. Texture started to play a really big part in your art practice, but not just in the creation of the pieces themselves. Can you tell me more about that development?
Yes, absolutely. So again, I would give credit to that fantastic art shop because of the different shapes of palette knives that I was able to buy, and the paints were, the quality was fantastic. The colours, the fact that the textures and the paint held together without me needing to add any additional materials like gesso, etc. So I was able to just freely create lovely textures. But also I really embraced the flow on the canvas. So I loved being able to freely make markings on the canvas, and that then created the textures. I did explore different materials as well in some of my paintings using things like papier-mâché, and I use textured materials like sand as well. But texture, once I got the feel, the fact that I can have almost like a 3D experience when creating and then sharing the art, I loved and really embraced the concept of texture. And then also in terms of sharing the art in a sensory way with people being able to feel the canvases using the sense of touch, absolutely made me just go full on with it and continue with that in all of my abstracts. Also, sometimes breaking down barriers as well with the concept of being inviting somebody to share the art with the sense of touch really does make people feel very comfortable and inclusive, because that's a very strange thing for an artist to say to somebody, feel the surfaces of the canvas. You know what it's like when you go to museums and galleries. If you step over the line and touch a canvas, the alarms are going to go off and you'll be, you know, hunted down by security. Absolutely understand that. So when people say to me, what, I can touch it? I love saying, yeah, absolutely, because the paints are very, very hardy and I'm happy to embrace all of that. So it's just really, really nice to experience that. And in terms of the texture with the light alterations and the canvases reacting to that, the textures play a part in it as well, because when I have a metallic sheen on a textured surface, the light dances on a much deeper level. There's so many interactions that happen with the light because of the textures and the metallic aspect. So yeah, texture is everything for me.
Creativityfound.co.uk is the place to go to find workshops, courses, supplies, kits, and books to help you get creative. So if you're looking for your own Creativity Found experience, go have a browse to see what's on offer. And if you can help adults to find their new creative passion with your classes, online offerings or kits, visit creativityfound.co.uk/join us to become a member of our brilliant promotional and networking collective. There's a handy link in the show notes. What medium do you work in then? And has that changed, for example, since your first visit to the art supply shop in India?
Yes, it did, because I started creating with oils. So with oils, you have the limitation that the oils do not dry instantly in comparison to acrylics. So because I wanted to layer the paintings with different shades of colours, I couldn't do that very freely with oils. I had to create in sections. I couldn't do it layer upon layer at the speed that I wanted to. So yes, it was an interesting experience working with oils because it's a different viscosity in the paint. But also the smell of terps was horrible, but that's separate. So when I switched to acrylics, again, hallelujah to that art shop, had fantastic acrylics. So they changed everything, because not only with acrylics was I able to work faster, with acrylics they also had the most wonderful range of metallic paints. That changed everything, because then it meant that I could create the metallic sheens in comparison to the wonderful shades of the paints that were already there. Implementing metallic paint into my canvases really did give me so many more options, and I loved it.
Cool. I love sharing my guests' stories with you, but podcasting isn't cheap. There are hosting fees and software costs, tech to buy, and time to invest in planning and editing to make sure the guests sound great and listeners hear the best content. If you'd like to financially support Creativity Found, please visit ko-fi.com/creativityfoundpodcast. You mentioned in your introduction about the teaching side of your artwork as well. Can you tell me about how that came about?
Yeah, sure. So my art appreciation workshop for the blind and partially sighted was created because I was very curious about how would it be if somebody who was blind or who was partially sighted would experience the works. And when I was in India, when I had started to invite people to feel the surfaces of the canvas using the sense of touch, I really wanted to delve further into this. So a friend of mine had a relative who was blind, and I was able to meet this person, and I was able to explore them experiencing my canvases using just the sense of touch. And the feedback that I got from this person was wonderful. The interpretations were so beautiful. And he told me he felt so freeing. And it was just a really enriching experience to have that interaction with somebody's painting. So it just led me to really want to share this further on a much more structured way. At the same time, I was also studying the concept of pranic healing. And that's healing with energy. And I became an advanced practitioner of pranic healing, which is healing with color energy. So that's how I found out about the fact that we can all feel color energy physically. So that kind of like came at the perfect time. And again, I'm very much somebody who embraces an experience and, you know, has an imagination to take it further. So when we came back to UK, with all these different experiences in mind, I put together my art appreciation workshop for the blind and partially sighted and basically started to deliver it. And luckily, at the same time where I had a solo show in Hong Kong, I was at the same time invited to deliver a speech in Melbourne because I'm an ambassador for the Clinton Foundation. So I was going to be in Australia anyway. And because I was in Hong Kong, I asked the gallery owner if he would host a workshop for me with an organization that I'd found in Hong Kong. So the global aspect went completely crazy very, very early on because I was going to be in these different places. So I embraced it. And then because I knew I was going to be in Melbourne, I contacted Vision Australia and they loved the concept and invited me straight away to be on their radio show. They asked if I could go to Sydney to deliver a workshop there. And I said, oh, yes. So it just went, it was embraced very quickly with such warmth. And I'm very grateful for that because that just got me the bug. And I just continued to deliver it all over. And of course, in the UK as well. The workshop, as I said, I wanted to structure it so we got the experience of being able to share it fully with people and they could experience it fully in each section. So the first section is where I invite people to feel the surfaces of the canvas and tell me what they think that they are feeling with no right or wrong answer. And it's just such a great experience to see people embrace that because I am so grateful for the really deep interactions, and sometimes the reactions have been so poetic and really moving, very emotional. And, you know, I cannot explain how wonderful it is to have that with a complete stranger who I've just met. So, and every canvas has a different experience from different people, which in itself is wonderful. So that's the first aspect. The second part of the workshop is where I'm sharing the technique of feeling color energies. And I start people off with apples or something that's, you know, very easy to get, like peppers or whatever. And I get them to hover over a red and a green apple and ask them to just close your mind, really just focus on what's happening on your hands. And if you feel a sense of warmth or a sense of coolness in any of the hands, please let me know. And I do it where I ask them to lift up the object where they feel warmth, if they do. And people are holding up the red apple most of the time, which is fantastic. And so that means that they've got the concept. And then I bring the paintings out again. And then because each of the paintings that I've created for the workshops have cool areas and warm areas. So like a red color would give off a warmer energy and a, say, white or a blue would give off a cooler energy. And this is based on the concept of the fact that physically, colors that are darker absorb a higher frequency of energy. Therefore, they emit a higher frequency of energy. And that is what we can feel. And the opposite is for colors such as like white or blue or green. So that is brilliant. I mean, the experiences on that have been fantastic. I had a lady on a workshop in Sydney, and she said to me she could feel warmth in her palm, but her fingertips were really cool. So she couldn't understand what on earth was going on. She says it's so distinctive in one hand. I don't know what's happening. So I went and had a look at where her hand was, and her palm was over a very deep orange, and her fingertips were on a very kind of pale green, where on top of that I had painted a metallic silver, so it was really kind of like it was emitting very cool energy waves to her that she could feel on one hand. It was a brilliant experience, and this lady was so amazed by it, and she actually was fascinated by this concept, and she actually went on and trained as a color therapist. So that kind of a reaction and experience is amazing to me. So that's the second part of the workshop. And the third part of the workshop is where we create textured art together. I kind of source very textured materials like sand, popcorn, papier-mâché, lentils and rice and things so that people can create art using colour, glue and the textures that they want to create. And then once dried, they can share that with their family and friends. And it's just an empowering experience for them. Obviously enriching for them and the people that they're going to share it with. But so much fun is had in that section as well. So every single workshop has just been wonderful to experience, and I can't wait to do it again.
They sound fantastic, so joyful and full of wonderful experiences. On another matter, I know that you enjoy collaborating with interior designers. Tell me more about that process and why it excites you.
I love this. I love doing this so much. So working with interior designers and yacht interior designers is a brilliant experience. I have experience of being part of the project right from the start or being asked to create art for a project towards the end. So being a part of the project right from the start is really wonderful because then I get to see the concept right at the beginning and can interact in terms of placing art near light, natural source of light preferably, and color schemes, textures, knowing what the client wants in terms of the level of energy on the canvas, because some people really like very calm energies on a canvas, so a minimalistic approach, and some people want anything and everything that you can put on there. So I then have a really good structured brief right from the start and am in touch with the interior designer throughout the process and can adjust accordingly if needed. So I love that experience. And also it's challenging, but also a good challenge to be asked at the end of a project to supply art, because then I can go in and see all the colours, everything set up in terms of the way the property is laid out, and can create a piece of art according to what the interior designer and the client wants. So both experiences are very interesting. Now, when we're talking about yacht interiors, oh my gosh, that is on another level, because when I have my art on the seas with the light that is so bright and beautiful, and when you can imagine the sun dancing on the surface of the seas, and then that reflects back onto the yacht interiors and exteriors, etc. To have a painting in that setting is wonderful because the light is completely different. It changes so much and interacts so well with the metallics on my canvases. So I really enjoy that, and I definitely want to do more of it. And I've had such great feedback from clients because they've really embraced it. And, you know, it's been really exciting to do that for sure, to know that my painting is on the seas, who knows where in the planet, and having fun with the light that is just ongoing dance, let's say. I really love doing that. But yeah, wonderful experiences so far. And I cannot wait to see what's coming next in that part of what I do.
Oh, fabulous. Do you manage to achieve a balance between helping others, the commercial work, and creating your own body of work?
That's very, very tricky sometimes. And yes, it's because the thing is, I'm the type of person that wants to do everything and anything and have the enthusiasm to want to do anything and everything. But I do have the sensible side of my head that says, no, you have to rein some things in and put some things on the back burner. Yeah, so I'm very, very careful with that. And sometimes I have felt overwhelmed. So what I do actually like to do, I mean, I haven't been able to do that because of COVID, but I do like to just go off on a trip by myself and just to reset, recharge, just think of what I want to do, just me taking care of myself. So I like to do that. And I love being at my studio by myself as well, because then I can just focus on what I want to do with no disturbances, you know, no distractions. And it's just, yeah, definitely I'm always trying to better my balance of what I really need to do and what I really want to do. But yeah, whenever I'm creating, I must have a clear head. So I don't ever compromise on that. I could be better, but I am quite good at balancing it. But yeah, definitely there's room for improvement on that for sure.
Yay, good for you. How does your art affect your well-being now? And looking back, do you feel that there was perhaps something missing when you weren't creating in this way?
Gosh, that's a really interesting question. Looking back, because I'd started it with a very self-discovery mode, I do feel that creating and enjoying art has always had a positive impact on my well-being. And I do feel that I've always approached any experience with full attention, even if I'm in like a stunning setting, countryside or history or whatever. I do try and shut everything off and experience it and immerse myself very deeply in something. So I really do value that interaction and that experience So I immerse myself without distraction. So I would say that that takes away any elements of what I can fully gain from what I'm doing. So I'd say I've always felt a sense of well-being and continue to do so.
That's amazing. What are your plans or hopes for the future?
Oh, I am very excited for many, many things. And for that, I'm very grateful. So I'm excited to soon be starting on my new body of work. The working title at the moment is Alchemy on Canvas. And I have a lot of ideas that I really can't wait to put onto canvas and have that studio time as well by myself with nothing else. I'm so looking forward to delivering more of my workshops in the UK and abroad when it's safe to travel. I've got a number of different countries that have approached me to deliver workshops there, as well as other organisations who want me to come back and deliver more. But yeah, can't wait to do that. And I can't wait to work more with interior designers and definitely yacht and super yacht interior designers. So really excited about many things. And as I said, so much gratitude for everything that's coming my way and that's already happened.
Brilliant. Thank you.
There are many, many podcasts out there. It's difficult to know where to start. So I like to ask my guests for their recommendations. You're welcome.
So in terms of a podcast recommendation, I have to tell you that I love comedy. All genres, sitcoms, stand-up, rom-coms. And because of that, the podcast that I would like to recommend is one called Daddy, Look at Me. And it's hosted by Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones. And they have so many hilarious comics on there. It's just a real joy. You have a laugh. You know, it's just really, really good experience. And I would highly recommend to find the one with Shazia Mirza, because, oh my God, it's just so funny. And it also gives a really interesting insight into the challenges that women face when growing up in a restricted Asian culture. I would recommend the podcast and all of the episodes, but I would highly recommend that particular one with Shazia Mirza.
Excellent. Good choice. I haven't had any comedy yet. How can people contact you?
So my website is farasideart.com. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Clubhouse. And if you just search for Farasayed, I will come up. Luckily, my name is spelled so weirdly, it means that I stand out. So I'm going to, you know, make the most of that. So yeah, you can find me on all the platforms I've just mentioned.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Farah.
Thank you, Claire. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Creativity Found is an Open Stage Arts production. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and review. If you would like to help fund future episodes, you can buy us a coffee. That's KO-FI, the online platform that helps creators receive financial support from fans of their work. Visit ko-fi.com/creativityfoundpodcast. If you have found your creativity as an adult and would like to talk to me for future episodes, drop me a line at claire@openstagearts.co.uk. On Instagram or Facebook, follow @creativityfoundpodcast, where you will find photos of our contributors' artworks and be kept abreast of everything we're up to.